Welcome to the From the Field broadcast. It is my hope and prayer that God will use this message to touch your heart. Thank you for listening. May God bless.
Ephesians 1, 2 Timothy 1, and 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Read a few key verses tonight, and then our selected reading, our text for the message God's put upon my heart for this evening is over in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And so we'll read a few verses there too. Let's read first of all in Ephesians chapter 1. If you're able to tonight and can stand, I want to invite you to for the reverence of the Word of God. And we'll read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Now, to understand this church Paul is writing to, this is a church that has been started over in the book of Acts, chapter 19. And you remember now, during Paul's preaching in this place, he preached there for 2 years and some months. While he was there preaching, there was a manifestation of a demonic spirit. You remember that?
Yes.
They tore the clothes off of those Jewish men, and then there was such a large a moving of the Holy Spirit of God that they began to come to the streets and openly, publicly repent of their sin, and they burned their books of witchcraft. You remember this? Up to the sum of 50,000 pieces of silver. And so this is the same group that Paul is writing to, and so we find now that they in their maturity and in their onward progression in the fullness, Paul has some things to say to them. And I'm going to pull out some things here for us tonight. I believe it'll be a help to us. And a blessing. The Bible says this. Let's begin reading here in verse number 16. It's part of his prayer. He says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Verse 18, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come." Paul's desire was a chain reaction, and that their eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. That they would see something, that they would understand something, and in that understanding, that they would know that there would be an increase of knowledge concerning God.
Yes.
Now then, when we go over here to the book of Timothy here, 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul again writing to his young predecessor, and he says this in verse number 7. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, it's interesting that Paul is writing to Timothy in confidence about what God gives and what God doesn't give. He's clear when he says God does not give us the spirit of fear. So we know now that that emotion is fear is not an emotional thing. Fear comes and is rooted in a spirit. So our eyes are to be open, our understanding enlightened, and we know that we do not have a spirit of fear. Now let's take those wonderful truths and look over here in 2 Chronicles 20. I want to look here at verse number 17 and we'll pray together. The Bible says, "Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you."
Yes.
The Bible tells us in another spot in the Scripture, in the book of Revelation, that says the Spirit and the bridegroom say, "Come." It's the calling, effectual calling of God.
Yes.
"Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest." That's what Jesus says. And he's able to take the chains off. He's able to take the burden away. He's able to cleanse the heart. He's able to save to the uttermost, the Scripture says. And we know that God is faithful and just, and he's the just and the justifier. We know that he is clearly a savior tonight. The Bible says he was slain. There was a lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. This is Jesus tonight. Before there was ever a question, before there was ever a problem, God had already had an answer. It's Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. And so tonight we preach Christ, as Paul said. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus himself said in John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me." He is the way. We'll have to come to the very end of ourself, to the very end of our thoughts, and fall holy, humbly before God, and say, "God, in an openness and a heart of repentance toward God, to agree with God what He says about you, a liar, a thief, extortioner, whatever God has spoken to you that this is the sin in your life, to repent of it, agree with God."
Yes.
And it's an amazing thing. It's a miracle that takes place.
Yes.
It's amazing the battle that's in the mind when God begins to deal with the sinner, isn't it? Even when God begins to speak, and when God begins to manifest that effectual call toward a sinner to come to me, to respond to me. He said over there in the book of Isaiah, in that very first chapter tonight. Y'all just hang with me. I'm trying to follow the Lord the best way I know how. Verse 18, the Bible says this. He says, "Come now," the Lord saying, "come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Speaking of a change, an inner change that only God can give. It's an amazing thing, salvation, the miracle of the new birth. Jesus told Nicodemus, "You must be born again." And it was an inward working of God. The battle that's in the mind, we see it over there in the book of Romans, chapter number 8. The Bible says that because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we see that the natural thought, the logical thought, is against God. And that we, according to Romans 5:12, our after Adam, born in this world with a sinful nature.
Yes.
That nature is against God.
Yes.
That nature is contrary to God. And so we find ourselves in a hopeless state. We have a nature that's against God. Our carnal, logical mind is against God. And yet what we find is not that we look for God, but that He first loved us. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He first loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins.
Right.
And so, what a blessed thought that love casteth out all fear.
Yes.
What I've come to find out is this, and in every human being, whether you're an Indian in the Amazon, or whether you're up here in Salisbury, North Carolina, or you're in India tonight, or you're in China, or you're in an Arab country in Afghanistan, or wherever you are tonight, what we find is that on the inward part of a man, woman, boy, or girl, there is a void. Only God can fill that void.
Right.
You can try to put everything you want to in that space, but only God can fill the space.
Amen.
It's a God-sized hole. Only God can fill it up. And that is in and through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
For He said there in the book of John, it's one of the most quoted scriptures that we hear in our day, even down there in Brazil. The Bible says this: "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." And so God has a desire to save sinners. He wants to. He comes after sinners. He desires sinners. He's searching for sinners. I remember talking to a fellow here just the other day, and I was there in the village. This guy had showed up one Sunday morning as I was preaching, and he was a tourist passing through. And after the service, they said, "Preacher, there's a tourist out here." And so I walked out of the hut, me and some of the Indians, and I see this man standing out there. His name was Dovey. He was from Europe or somewhere. And I said, What can I do for you? Can I help you?" And he said, "I'm looking for, I'm searching. I'm on a journey. I'm on a pilgrimage to find peace and tranquility." And I said, "You've come to the right place today." So we've got it right here. And he's trying to find it in a mushroom. Told me. He said, "I heard about these plants and we can mix up and snort and it somehow it brings peace and tranquility." And I said, So you're going to get some of that and bring it back to Europe with you?" He said, "That's what I'm down here for." And I said, "Man," I said, "how about that?" I said, "What you going to do when the mushroom runs out?"
That's right.
"What you going to do when you can't find no more nothing to snort?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Sir, you're in a search for something, but what you're really going to find out is it's the someone."
Amen.
And long before you was looking for Him, He's already looking for you.
Right.
And so God commendeth His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Yes.
And so Christ loves sinners tonight.
Yes.
That's the only kind He saves.
Right.
Sinners.
Yep.
And so there has to be an open admittance, an open agreement with God about our condition before Him. We're lawbreakers. We've broken the law of God. We've lied. We've stolen. We've cheated. We've done these things. So we say, "God, You're right. I'm wrong. I'm the sinner." And what a blessing to come at an agreement with God.
Yeah.
And that's the kind He saves, the sinners.
How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That He should give His only Son. To make a rich His treasure.
As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. Thank you for tuning in to our broadcast today. I hope it's been a help and a blessing to you. Please send all correspondence to Brother Andrew at P.O. Box 43, Hayesville, North Carolina, 28904. Thank you for making our ministry a matter of continued prayer.